All right, Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his remnant and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for your love and grace. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I pray that you would just make yourself known once more, Lord. I'm totally dependent upon you. Help me to say the things you want me to say in a short time, Lord. And help me not to go over. Just help me to stay within my time. And Lord, I pray that we have a good time in fellowship next door as we just eat some food. And Lord, help us just to know who you are in our lives and open our hearts and minds to thy word. And Lord, help us to know there's a town, there's a country, there's a world calling. And help us to meet that criteria if there's people calling, Lord. And I pray that you would just get us to understand your truth tonight. Lord, use me. I can't teach your people unless you're with me. So, Lord, I ask you again, help us today. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I left my water over here. Let me get that. The title of this message is Corinth is Calling. Corinth is calling. First of all, I want you to see the condition of Corinth as it is mentioned first off in verse number 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Corinth is a location between Greece and Macedonia, and there's an Isthmus island in between. There would be ships that would come from all over the world. And the condition of Corinth, if you know anything about Corinth, it was a cesspool of immorality and shame. It was a sinful city. They worshiped the god of Aphrodite. They worshiped Venus. The place was a place of luxury and vice. One commentator said there were more gods than there were people. It was a place of immorality and shame, a sinful city, the Bible says. But yet God is going to do something and show us something in this Bible that this place, Corinth, can perhaps be well known today in different places and towns all over the world, across the country. There are places that are a cesspool of immorality and shame. Right. There are places all over the world where people are looking to some kind of God that does not even come close to Jesus Christ. It was a place of immorality and shame. And now I want you to see the second thing, the condition of Paul. Now, Paul, he was financially in need. If you read verses 1 through 3, he comes and meets two individuals named Aquila and Priscilla. They have come from Italy because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and so they left and came to the place Corinth. And Paul Here in the Bible, it tells us because he was of the same craft, he basically had relation to them in the fact that they knew some things in the realm of making tents. And the condition of Paul was he was financially in need. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7 through 12 records how Paul had to work as a tent maker so as to avoid being seen as one using the gospel for financial advantage. If you know anything about this time and age, there in Corinth, there were some folks that would, they were like philosophers and Stoics, just as Paul had already visited before in Athens. There were some just like those people in Corinth, and they would go around and spout off their oratal words and make it seem, basically they tickled people's ears. They just wanted to tell people what they wanted to hear. That sound familiar today? I mean, there's all kinds of preachers or false preachers out there that they just want to make people hear what they want to hear so they can gain favor from them. But as a true Bible-believing preacher, you're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, whether it sounds good or not. You're supposed to preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Even when it hurts, even when it convicts the soul, and whether it encourages, you're supposed to preach it like it is. And here, these guys would come around and they would just spout off of how good they can say things and know how knowledgeable they are in their eyes. And Paul, and they would do that to get money in return. And people had to pay to listen. But Paul said, I'm not that kind of a messenger. I don't come to get money from you. It would help some. But you know what? If it means I have to work a job, I'm going to do it despite the difficulty. Despite in reaching a people, I'm going to do every means necessary to do it. You know, I'm going around on deputation. And yes, we need support financially. But if I couldn't get anybody to support us, you know what? I'm going to march back to the Navajo Nation and I'm going to do it with or without financial support because I know Jesus is with us. I know he will provide. It's also amazing to note that though he did not get the support he needed, he was still determined to reach Corinthian one way or another. Then the next thing, he was socially opposed under the condition of Paul, verses 4 and 6. His own people rejected his message of Christ, not only in Corinth, but he had been run out of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, then mocked in Athens just prior coming to Corinth. So he was socially opposed. People didn't want to hear the message. But Paul kept going and he kept pushing to the fact, and he didn't force people, but he kept giving them the opportunity to hear the gospel. It didn't matter what people thought or mocked or made fun of him. He just kept preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was ministerially successful in verses 7 and 8. You know, because he kept preaching the word of God, despite the opposition, he saw some fruit come about. He saw some people get saved. In verse 7, we see one named Justus who joined hard to the synagogue. We see Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, who believed on the Lord with all his house. And many others, so much others, the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized because he did not stop preaching the gospel. He was ministerial successful. You know, and he was only successful due to the fact that he brought God's word. That's what we plan to do in Chinle. That's what we plan to do all over the reservation. We don't want to give programs or surveys on what people want in a church. We don't want to go there to go and tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. We want to give them the word, God's word. Amen. To tell them the truth. Because the truth is the thing that will make them free. To help them grow. And can I tell you, that's the very thing this whole world needs. We can't get anything done if we bring the word of God to them. There is no way that programs and surveys and even doing good things like give food and give clothing to the poor will not help whatsoever unless we bring the word of God to them. Paul was ministerially successful only because he brought the word of God to the city. Let me say this. There's a calling of God in verses 9 through 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. Be not afraid, but speak, hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city, he says. There's a calling of God. While Paul had seen some success, we label it modest success because God desired the entire city to hear the gospel. Not just those with ties to the synagogue. God wanted the whole town of Corinth to come to him. But it needed to take a calling of God. God was willing to speak to an individual to get the job done. I believe that God still calls people today. I believe that God does not keep quiet. It's like a burning. When I was 13 years old, that was the day God called me to be a missionary. Under the preaching of Mark Cain's, an evangelist came by named Roger Green, and he preached the gospel. And it was the calling of God on my life that he pricked at my heart and said, I am calling you on my behalf to represent me and to give the message that I've given you through the word of God. God never stops calling people. And he wants the whole town of Corinth to be saved. So fourthly, the calling of Corinth. That brings me to that next point. Verse 10 says, for I have much people in this city. Perhaps the most fascinating phrase in this entire chapter is what the Lord states to Paul in verse 10. He tells Paul, before there's a church, before there are believers, before there are children getting on a bus to come to church, amen? Before there is choirs and specials coming up to sing unto the glory of God, he had much people in this city. What could this mean? There were a group of those of whom only God knew that were willing to hear, seeking and desiring something other than the wickedness of Corinth. You believe that? I believe that. I believe there's a people in Chinle and all over the Navajo Reservation that are seeking truth. Amen. Because tradition has not satisfied them. Because alcohol has not satisfied them. Because drugs have not satisfied them. False churches have not satisfied the soul they're yearning for. The void in their heart has not been filled. And they're out there searching and looking for someone to love on them. To show them the way, to show them the truth. Because they're tired of what they're seeing. You know, I believe some of them are getting tired of their families because the families they live in don't even live close to the truth. They were not saved, but God knew they would if his preacher would simply sound forth the message. And that applies to Jasonville, Indiana, folks. People are searching here in your town too. But it's going to take a messenger. It's going to take a Christian to be on fire to show them the truth. When Paul saw only a wicked city, because let's face it, in our own minds, when we look at Jasonville or any town across Indiana or in the Navajo Nation, our minds just comprehend what we see. We see a drunk in the ditch. We see a man high. We see someone just living a life of wickedness. And we think, man, that's a hard case. Look at that, they'd never get saved. Man, I think God would never go and visit those people by the way that they live. I shouldn't even go over there and give them a tract. I shouldn't even waste my time on praying for them because they're wicked. Look at how they live. And when Paul saw only a wicked city, God saw people that could be called out from among them. Aren't you glad that God sees a bigger picture than we do? God says, you may think that way, Christian, but you have no idea what good can come out of it if you would just go and preach the gospel. If you just do what a Christian's supposed to do. When Paul heard only the filth of unbelievers, because understand this, people would go around, they would spout off the reputation of being Corinthianized. They would say, oh, that person is Corinthianized. And I could go into all that with you, but because of sake of time, it was a reputation of filth. It was a bad label, and God heard the cry, despite of the filth of unbelievers. God heard the cry of Corinth calling out for the truth. He had much people in that city. Here we witness in full view the truth of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. It was not time for Paul to stop short when there were others still willing to listen. Others who had not made up their mind just yet about who God really is. You know, John chapter 10, verse 16 says, and other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. The vision of Christ is far stretched. He loves church planters going to hard places and the worst of places. He longs to see people get saved. Amen. Christian, do you long to see people get saved in your community? Because God is calling. Jacksonville, Indiana is calling tonight. But it's also going to take somebody to go and preach the gospel. You know, Elijah, discouraged and fearful under a juniper tree, thought his work was complete at Mount Carmel and that he was now the only one still standing for God. They call it the Elijah complex, I think it was. I'm the only one, God. I'm the only one doing your service. I'm the only one. It's like the whole world is against us. And there's nothing we can do. There's nobody that wants to get saved. Look how the world is going. Look how many suicides. Look how many school shootings are going out all over the world. Look what's happening all around us. But there were still 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. God still had much people in Israel that needed a prophet to reach them. These 7,000 were prospects that needed Elijah to continue on for God. There's people that, though it may not seem like they're counting on us by verbal speech, but they're counting on you to do your job, to give the gospel. Jonah thought his work was crazy in Nineveh. Those Ninevites, right? The ones that chop off heads and hang on a spear to show the whole nation how ruthless and violent they were. I mean, would you want to go and give the gospel to such a people? Jonah looked at that and said, man, those guys won't get saved. Look at, they're so wicked, they'll chop heads off. They might even chop minds off. Right. Right. Yeah. But God said, I have some people that are looking for truth. I have people that are looking for the answers to life. But there was an entire great city that would repent and turn to God if the message was simply preached. Jonah had his reasons for not wanting to reach these people, but God had much people there waiting for a message that God was determined to have preached there. Amen. He said, I have 6,000 waiting to hear the gospel. And because he went, the whole city of Nineveh got saved. I mean, it was amazing. When you read that passage of scripture, the whole town got saved. Not one person resisted or ignored the fact that they needed a savior. All of them got saved. I think that was the only time when a missionary ever went to such a place and every individual soul got saved. I hope that's the case in Chin Lee, that everybody in that whole city turns to God. And I don't want to limit God. But sometimes the reality is not everybody gets saved, but there are some that are still willing to listen to the truth. But I believe that God is going to do a great work. I believe he can reach every person in Chin Lee. I believe he can reach down into Jacksonville, Indiana, and reach everybody in this city. So what I want to say tonight, number one, I got 16 minutes, amen? When Corinth is calling, there had to be some criteria that Paul had to meet. If Jason, Indiana is going to be reached, and they're calling spiritually for help, there's going to be some criteria you and I need to meet. If the Navajo Nation is calling for truth, I need some criteria to meet alongside my wife. So what are these criteria? Number one, calling for a fearless witness. Verse 9, the Bible says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not," what?
Afraid.
If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he tells us that he came in weakness and fear and much trembling. Every day that we go and knock doors in Chinle, every Saturday, Friday, we go and knock doors. That's our normal schedule. I always get nervous, and I'm always a little bit fearful. Just because I know there are going to be doors slammed in my face. I know there's going to be people that just want to argue about it. And I might not have the answers they need. I'm afraid that sometimes when the door gets answered, I'm going to meet a family that's just been in a fight. I'm afraid that I'm going to come across a teenager that's drunk out of his mind and hits me right in the chin. That happened. I'm afraid that somebody is going to get mad and maybe pull a gun on me. But that hasn't happened. But I'm glad for that. But you know, there are things that go through my mind. What if? What if? We get a little fearful. And Paul was in the same emotional way of the fact that if I go to these Corinthians, there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be things that come my way that I could be a little fearful of. But God says, if you're going to reach them for me, and I'm calling them, that there are folks there waiting for the truth, there needs to be a fearless witness in you, Paul. Do not underestimate the great depth of emotion of the fact that the Apostle Paul is afraid. You know, sometimes we look at these Old Testament characters like Abraham and Moses, and the New Testament, Peter, John, Paul, and we look at them and we say, man, look how great of a man that person was for God. Look at what they accomplished in the work of God. And we limit ourselves. And we put ourselves at the level of, I can never be that. But if God used them, because they allowed God to use them by their surrender and submission, God can use you just the same today. That's bottom line. Everywhere I go, to every church, I always say this. Every single one of you have the potential to do something great for God. And that's reaching people with the gospel. That's running a bus route. That's doing something in the ministry. If you're saved and born again. But Paul is afraid. Was it fear of success? He had sharply said to the Jews, I go to the Gentiles. And it was typically the Jews of envy that steered up trouble in the other cities from which Paul had been expelled. Was it fear of hostility? He bore in his mark, the marks of ministry. He gives a testimony a time or two that he was whipped, beaten, stoned once, twice. Was it fear of the vastness of the work? Would his efforts be enough to accomplish something sustainable in such a wicked place? Corinth is calling. Will you allow fear to hinder you, or will you respond as Paul did to the word of God and be not afraid to answer that call? Let me just give you an insight. The LGBT community is out there speaking their voice. The people who want to abort babies are speaking their voice. These so-called preachers and pastors on television, TV, and across the world are preaching something that is not aligned with the Word of God.
Right.
And you know what? I come to find out that those kinds of people are not afraid to speak their mind. But you and I have the blessed Word of God. We know what's truth. We know what's in front of us. And we get scared to the fact that we keep quiet while our whole world goes to the direction of hell. And we wonder why these things are happening. It's because we're keeping quiet about the things of God. We're keeping quiet about the gospel that's been given to us to proclaim throughout the world. I'm scared. We're all scared. Brother Diedrich's scared. But can I tell you something? I have a God that's in me that will help me, that will use me, despite people making fun of me, despite people slamming doors on me, despite a teenager hitting me. I'm going to go anyway because I can't keep quiet with all this goodness overflowing in my soul. And you shouldn't be quiet either. You're supposed to be going out and knocking doors, folks. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed to be telling your testimony, handing out tracts. Because if a town like Jacksonville is calling, there needs to be a fearless group of Christian believers that will sound forth God's message.
Amen.
It's time that we stop being afraid because Jesus is on our side.
Amen.
It's time that we start speaking the things of God and stop letting those out in the world speak their mind. We need to speak what's really truth, and that's in the Word of God. And number two, if there's going to be Corinth calling, you know what needs to be met? Calling for a followed witness. Look in verse 10. For I am with thee, he says, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Paul was such a Christian that where he went, the power of God was with him. What Corinth was calling for was not Paul, but rather that God that would come with him in his message, his witness and his teaching. Can I tell you something? Jacksonville, Indiana is not calling for you, and the Navajo Nation is not calling for Brother Diedrich. They're calling for somebody who knows the Lord and has a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're calling for a witness that knows everything in the Bible that will help them to encourage them with their life. They're calling for someone who's not a fake and a hypocrite. They're calling for somebody that has a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Someone that walks with God. Somebody that talks with God. Somebody that knows God through the Word of God. There are a lot of people out there, they claim to be a Christian, but there's not one step with God in their life. There's not a presence of the Lord Jesus upon their life. But you and I have that opportunity to be a followed witness. Corinth is calling. Will you allow your Christian life or your Christian labor to be void of God's presence, or will you serve in the power of His might? Folks, I don't want to go Chin-Li. Letting people know that God is not with me. I want them to know that I have God in my life.
Amen.
I want to show them the God that helps me is the same God that could help them.
Amen.
The God that saved me and took me from hell and placed me in heaven someday, put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, is the same God that could do the same for them. The same God that took this Rez kid out in the middle of the desert and used him for His glory is the same God that can use them for His glory. I want him to see, man, that preacher, that pastor, that missionary does know the Lord. He does love Jesus Christ. And he's not just saying it to say it. He really does walk with Him. Christians, we need to walk with God to where people see Jesus all over our life. There was a preacher that said there are five gospels in the Bible. In the Bible, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in your life. We're supposed to have Jesus all over our life. Where people say, man, that guy knows God. Every time he prays, man, there's something that encourages my soul knowing he talks with the creator of heaven. Man, he doesn't play around. He's not a fake. And he's walking with God. So we need to be a followed witness. Number three, I got 6 minutes. Calling for a faithful witness. And what does the Bible say in verse 11? And he continued. How long? For a year? For a year and 6 months. Because that's how long God wanted him to be there.
Right.
Notice that Paul was willing to stay as long as it took to reach the people on God's heart that were in that city a year and a half. Oh, there's a dear good friend of mine. I don't know if you know this fellow. His name is Andy Magnarella.
Amen.
The Hopi tribe is one of the toughest tribes within our nation. It's interesting to know that the Hopi reservation is literally right in the middle of the Navajo Nation. If you go there, the Hopi people, they're very quiet to strangers. They're very cautious. They're very standoffish, if you will. When Andy Magnarella went there for the first few years of his life as a missionary, because that's where God called him to be. And these are the types of people that raise up an eagle in a cage, and they use those eagles for their ceremonies, and they do all kinds of ceremonies that are witchcraft, just like the Navajos do, and all of it's demonic. And how could you reach such a people? Andy Magnarella went and said, "You know what? I'm afraid, but I need to get this done because God called me." And not only that, I need to show them that I truly walk with the Lord. And not only that, I'm going to remain faithful on the Hopi reservation. You know what? For the first few years of his life, he had not one or two show up for services, to what I can recall. And we were there on the Navajo Nation, man, we were having 30s, 40s, 50s, 80s, 80 people come to church. But there in the Hopi, Andy Magnarella only saw just a few. But you know what? He said, if I just stay faithful, some more will come.
Amen.
And it took years and years. You know what? This past couple of years ago at men's camp, I saw a group of Hopi men come to the Navajo men's camp.
Amen.
And I saw them, and I couldn't help but think, because of this man's faithfulness, these Hopi men would have never been here.
Yeah. Right.
It's amazing to see someone. When a town is calling, such as the Hopi Reservation, and when someone stays that long, good comes out of it if we just keep going.
Amen.
You know what people are calling for? Someone who won't quit on them. Someone who won't throw in the towel when times get tough. They don't want to see quitters. You know, the Navajo Nation, to gain their trust, you need to be there constantly for them. You need to show them that you're not just going to go in and dip out. Because we had missionaries go to that field. You know what? They stayed there for just a while and they left. And because of that reputation, a lot of our Navajo people say, oh, he's just another missionary that's going to come and leave again. And there's people here in Jason, Indiana, that they can't trust people or God's people because we quit on them. When it's that moment when we lead them to Christ, we quit on them. We stop praying for them. And then they never get saved because we quit. But if people are going to get saved, if a town is calling, we need to be faithful in the things of God. Faithful in church, faithful in prayer, faithful in Bible reading, faithful in the church's way of going out and reaching people. Paul was faithful. He continued there. It would have been no surprise had he resisted the call of Corinth, seeing that it was not long after he responded to the Macedonian call that led to his beating and imprisonment. Yet he did not let past wounds hinder him from the need at hand. He understood he was bought with a price. He understood Jesus died on the cross for him. And so how could he quit? How could he not serve the Lord? Corinth is calling. Will you allow a sporadic Christian life to hinder you, or will you respond to being faithful? Think of all the people you and I could reach if we just do what we're supposed to do. Corinth is calling, folks. Jacksonville, Indiana is calling. The Navajo Nation is calling. My question to you, and from God most importantly, is will you meet the criteria as a witness and respond to the calling of lost people? I want to encourage you, folks, that every town in America and across the world, there's a great need for people to know Christ. And I told you this morning, and we hold the very Bible, the Word of God, that has the answer. But it's going to take somebody who's not scared, that will stay quiet. It's going to take someone who will tell people the truth. It's going to take someone who has God on their life, and it's going to take somebody who's faithful. Will we meet those criteria, Pastor?